This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Hey, Diamond Hogs Podcast listeners, Mason Choate here with Robert Stewart. Need to let everybody know that if you want to listen to the podcast, all you have to do is search Hogbeat Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast, and that's where you will find all of the latest Diamond Hogs Podcast episodes. We made the switch, I think last year it was. So if you just search Hogbeat Podcast Network, you will find the podcast. If you search Diamond Hogs Podcast, you're going to get our old stuff back from 2022. So Hogbeat Podcast Network, it's HAWGBEAT.com. Robert.
And also, if you're looking to watch the video version of this podcast on YouTube, don't search it on YouTube. Look on hogbeat.com, as Mason just mentioned. You'll find it there. We unlist them. We mark them as unlisted because, ads, revenue, not important stuff. But bottom line is, if you're looking to watch the video version, go to hogbeat.com. The links are always posted there. You will always be able to find them. Again, HAWGBEAT.com.
Yes, Robert had it. That's the key word, HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. Search it anywhere. When you're getting your podcast, Hogbeat. When you're searching the YouTube, Hogbeat. Just go to Hogbeat and you will find it there, hogbeat.com. That's what it is. That's where you find all of our stuff. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined as always by Robert Stewart, and we have an incredible weekend of baseball to recap. Your number one Arkansas Razorback swept the reigning national champion, LSU Tigers. Tommy White cussed out an ump. We've got LSU fans crying on the timeline about 12-year-olds. And look, the Hogs are the best team in college baseball, and they just I wouldn't say they dominated LSU, but they I don't know how else to say it other than they just continue to find ways to win, and that's the mark of a good baseball team. A very good baseball team.
Precisely. I mean, I don't know how to say it better, honestly. Like you said, an incredible series, just 3 days of really, really, really solid baseball. Results aside, right? It was just consuming that product for, 28 straight innings, considering the extra inning on Friday. Just absolutely incredible stuff, man. Really good defense. There was the one error in that extra inning Friday. But other than that, the errors were non-existent, really. The positioning defensively, the pitching, the clutch hitting on both sides, it was just an absolutely it was so much fun to watch from an outside perspective. You mentioned all the other stuff, the LSU fans crying about 12-year-olds on Twitter. I was not having to deal with that at all. But just from an outsider's perspective, man, was this just an incredible 3 days of baseball to consume? It was so much fun. It was a great product, and it happened to help that, you know, the Hogs swept, right?
100%, man. Yeah, no, it was a great weekend of baseball at the yard. Great atmosphere every single game. The weather was great this weekend. And the Razorbacks have now won 17 straight games at home, which is a new program record for the Hogs at Baumwalker Stadium. Now, it is, you do need to clarify Baumwalker, because apparently they won 20-something in a row at George Coalfield back in the day. So, but still, they're 19-1 at home this year, 23-3 overall, 8-1 in conference play for the first time since 2009. And, it's crazy to think about the fact that Arkansas is 8-1 in conference play, and now LSU is 2-7 in conference play.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, like, you still got teams like Florida. Florida's got 11 losses, but they're still going to be top 10 probably next week. So, college baseball it's a lot of fun. It's a great product right now. And the Arkansas Razorbacks are on top of the college baseball world right now. So we're going to get into more of it, but before we do, let's tell you about hogbeat.com. As always, HAWGBEAT.com. That's how you spell it. Visit it today. The Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. It was a busy weekend for the Arkansas Razorbacks, not just baseball, but the football team had an open scrimmage, 152 plays. We got it all broken down on hogbeat.com. I literally have play-by-play, every single play that happened, result, yardage, on hogbeat.com. So make sure you subscribe to get that. If you don't want the full play-by-play, the football nerd stuff, the baseball nerd stuff, the insider access, you can still check out all our free content, a lot of great stuff. Even from the football scrimmage, we've got stats, big plays, everything you need. So check it out. And also check out Bet Saracen. We always tell you about Bet Saracen. Look, Robert, I'm on a heater with UFC. So I'm doing really well with UFC. Duke kind of screwed me on Sunday. So I went heavy on Duke to beat NC State. So that was unfortunate. But if you would have bet on the Arkansas baseball team this weekend, you would have gone 3-0 if you bet Arkansas money line three times in a row, including Friday when they were underdogs.
Home underdogs.
Yeah. So, like, look, hypothetically, if you would have taken Arkansas money line on Friday because you were like, well, Dave said after the game on Thursday that they know what to do against Holman, you would have made some money, hypothetically. So make sure you get on Bet Saracen and get those bets in, not only on Arkansas money line, runs, over-unders, all that good stuff, but the player props as well. Can't get them anywhere else. I tell you that all the time, but it's true. You cannot get those anywhere else. So Bet Saracen, download it today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, Robert, let's get into this because we got a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and start with Thursday night's game. So here's the thing. We recorded Friday's episode before we talked to Dave, first of all, and then Dave was like, yeah, we're changing up the rotation. And before LSU announced their rotation, which they didn't announce it until Thursday. So, like, what are we supposed to do? No, we knew that Holman wasn't throwing until Friday. On Wednesday. Anyways, long story short, we recorded the podcast without knowing the whole story. Now that we know the whole story, Hagan throws on Thursday, no Luke Holman, so we did not have Ace on Ace. Before we get into the game, Robert, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it was slightly disappointing for sure to not have an Ace on Ace game, right? LSU really just went with a bullpen game, seven outs from the starter, Coleman. You heard the hype from me the last game talking up the stats on like Hagan Smith versus Luke Holman, right? Both, you know, top three in a lot of categories in the SEC. And so it was unfortunate to not have that matchup for sure. But I mean, from an Arkansas perspective, can you complain the way it worked out?
No, you can't. Like, it worked out perfectly, but at the time it was really disappointing. It was like, man, LSU, bunch of chickens, you know, they're just like throwing in the white towel. And then Jay Johnson was very adamant that it was because of pitch count. Anyways, we'll get into it. But Arkansas wins this one on Thursday, 7-4. Hagan Smith, again, you know, six innings, two run ball, you know, gave up a couple of homers, but still struck out 10, still looked good. Still probably the best pitcher in college baseball.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the back-to-back shots in the fourth, you can live with those, right? I always love to say solo home runs won't kill you. Of course, that theory was debunked last week on the Plains when Vahiva Aloy won it with a solo shot in the first inning, right? But, this is a very specific reference, and, you know, not everybody's going to get it, but my immediate thought as soon as those two balls flew out of the yard was the 2019 National League Division Series between the Dodgers and the Nationals. Anthony Rendon went out of the zone to hit a home run off Clayton Kershaw, as Tommy White did against Hagan Smith. Very next pitch, hitter of the opposite handedness, Juan Soto in 2019, Hayden Travinsky in 2024, hits the next pitch out of the yard. All of a sudden, two runs on the board. Fortunately for Arkansas, the difference is that was the fourth inning. That was the eighth inning for the Dodgers. They had plenty of time to recover, and they did. And, a signature win, really, for the Hogs on Thursday to open the series.
Yeah, it was. And let's just start going through it. So Hagan started things off with a pair of strikeouts, 1-2-3 inning. Tommy White had 111-mile-an-hour line out to center. And so, like, you could already feel it. Okay, this is probably, you know, the best hitter in college baseball. He's going to get his this weekend. And he did, for the most part, you know.
Yeah, and we'll get into this, but it was fascinating the difference between his at-bats with the bases empty and his at-bats with runners on.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing that. But let's see. First run from Arkansas comes in the bottom of the third. Let's see, what was that, a solo homer from Jack Wagner?
We're talking Thursday?
Yes.
I got a Ben McLaughlin sack fly.
Am I on the wrong story? No. Jack Wagner hit a home run in this game.
He did, but it wasn't the first run.
Okay. Then I'm on the wrong paragraph. Okay. McLaughlin, yes, I do remember that McLaughlin, because that ball was – it was crazy because the shortstop caught it and they scored on it, right? Is that what happened?
I have it as a center fielder catching it. I think he got it. I think he got a hold of one. The bases were loaded at the time. Bases loaded, one out, and it looked like, you know, if not for the wind that night, it might have gotten out of the yard.
Yes, that one. Because I asked Dave about that one. And he, you know, it was the classic Dave answer of, yeah, if the wind's not blowing, that one gets out. So, yes, no, I remember that one. Sorry. Crazy weekend. But, yes, that's how Arkansas gets on the board. Then LSU had the two homers in the fourth. And then Arkansas responded with two more runs in the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Jack Wagner tying it up at two. And then it was Peyton Stovall, the first of many knocks on the weekend. Two-out RBI single to put the Hogs back on top. Man, what a weekend for Stovall it was. Seven hits. Let me see. I'm going to pull this up.
The Louisiana kid out of Houghton, Louisiana.
Louisiana kid delivering against the flagship university in Louisiana. It was
the
really
university special. Which he did not receive an offer to play baseball for. Can you believe that?
Isn't that wild?
He was a first round MLB draft prospect.
Yeah, and you always hear it turned down over $2 million to come to school in Fayetteville, right?
Yeah,
rival state to LSU, right? Yeah. But you know, we'll touch on weekend MVPs later, right? But just reading off the stats, 7 for 13, drove in 5, walked a couple times. Obviously, the huge home run in whatever game it was, Saturday. But yeah, this was an incredible weekend for Stovall. Kicked off with this go-ahead RBI single in the fourth inning. And then, you get a couple more shutout innings from Hagan Smith. Nice to see him bounce back after the couple home runs he gave up in the fourth. Right. The only two batters he didn't retire after those home runs were singles dealt with, two out singles dealt with. And he still ends up with 10 strikeouts. I mean, your bold prediction didn't come true, but he, you know, despite that adversity, right, he hadn't really given up runs in league yet, right? Those were, yeah, he had pitched two shutout outings to start his SEC slate, and he gives up those two runs and appears unfazed with 10 strikeouts despite the game tying and go ahead home runs in the fourth inning.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing for Hagan is that on the season now, he's given up 6 earned runs, and all of those have come off of home runs. Every earned run he's given up has come via a home run.
3-run shot in the JMU game, right?
He's given up 4 total home runs.
2 in the LSU game, and who else did he give one up to? Like McNeese or somebody?
I'd have to go back. See,
I'm looking.
I wasn't expecting you to fact check me on this. I was expecting you to just trust me.
I'm not after you to fact check. No, it was Murray State. Yeah, okay. It was a leadoff hitter for Murray State.
Okay, there we go. We got it figured out. So Hagan goes 6, and then they bring in Iron Man Will McIntyre.
And boy, what a weekend he had.
Yeah, he gives up a couple runs, but he strikes out 8. So Hagan and Will combined for 26 of the 27 outs in this game. And so McIntyre comes in the top of the 7th, takes care of business, scoreless inning, and then Arkansas adds a run there in the bottom of the 7th via an RBI walk from LSU reliever Cam Johnson.
Ty Wilmsmore, man. That was a pro at bat for sure.
Yep. And then so that was all Arkansas got. LSU, let's see. So at that point, LSU tied it up, right? Yep. It was 4-4. LSU ties it up in the top of the 8th.
Which was particularly painful for Arkansas at the time, right? Because between innings 3 through 7, they had stranded 11 runners, the Razorbacks did. Right. I mean the traffic was there all night. They weren't capitalizing really. Until, as you mentioned, LSU didn't tie the game. That's not true.
They
cut it to 4-3. Yeah, because Hagan got the win. Yeah. I was like, McIntyre didn't get that one.
Yeah, that's
So like you said, it was the two out rally there. Tommy White was down in the count, I'm pretty sure, with the bases empty and two outs. Ends up working a single. Travinsky walks behind him, and then Jared Jones comes through with the RBI single to cut it to 1. But then, of course, as you mentioned, big 8th inning. Kendall Diggs, man, team leading 6th home run, if I am correct about that. I feel like he hits so many three-run shots in Grand Slams.
Tied with Vahiva for the team lead with six, by the way. What the heck? Someone's car is going off outside my window. sorry. Yeah, no, it and it's almost like, so we asked him about it, like, what is it with you and three-run homers? And he was like, I don't know. So I don't think there's anything, like, I don't think there's anything special to it other than the fact that he's just, like, really good at clutch hits. And he just happens to have two runners on when he gets them. So,
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. If I were an opposing pitcher and I, you know, had to face Kendall Diggs with two on, I'd be terrified. I just put him on. I don't care if the runner first and second. I just put him on.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a tough situation. And it's and credit to Kendall Diggs, though. Like, this is no longer just like a fluke for him. He has a knack for this thing.
Without a doubt. And we haven't mentioned yet that it was on an 0-2 count, right? I mean, he watched strike one, I'm pretty sure, chased strike two, and then, you know, barreled it up and did the job.
Yeah, and it was electric. I mean, just, you know, one of those homers at Baum Walker where, you know, he puts Arkansas up by four runs in the bottom of the eighth. You know, you got McIntyre. You know, it's Thursday, it's game one. You got really anybody you need. And, you know, McIntyre comes back out, gets two outs. LSU does get a run back in the top of the ninth. But they bring in Stone Hewlett, man. Stone Hewlett is like, you need a guy to get one out. I was thinking about it in my head, and I was like, if you need just one out, you know, Stone might be the guy you go to on this pitching staff, but then it's like, well, you got Hagen, you got Molina, you got Gackle. Like, there's so many good guys, but Stone Hewlett in this role is just a lot of fun to watch. And it's just one at bat.
Yeah, right. Through 3 weeks of league play, right? I'm looking at the stats here. Stone Hewlett's recorded four outs, faced four batters. He's sat them all down on strikes.
And I think he at one point appeared in four games in a row. I think, because, hold on, bad radio. Here we go. Yeah, so he appeared. He was in game two and game three of the Auburn series. Then he pitched against Little Rock. Then he pitched in game one of the LSU series. And then he pitched in game two of the LSU. So he pitched in five straight games.
Five straight games, yeah.
He appeared in five straight games.
And he went more. He got the full inning against UALR on Tuesday. So what is that? Seven straight batters retired in five outings.
Yeah, pretty good for Stone Hewlett, and a great way to end the game for Arkansas. 7-4 win on Thursday night. The fireworks went off. It was a great Thursday night game, man. One of those games that, you know, when Hagen's pitching, all eyes are on him. And we heard after from a team spokesperson that there were at least 19 MLB scouts in attendance for Thursday night game.
I mean, it's a top 10 SEC baseball, reigning national champ versus current number one, Hagen Smith, Tommy White. I mean, what more do you want to see? Of course there should be 19 scouts. I'm surprised there weren't more, honestly.
Yeah. 11,000 plus in attendance at Baum Walker, and the Hogs get the win. So let's move on to Friday's game. So, reminder, Brady Tigert, not the starting pitcher for Arkansas in this one. It was Mason Molina. And, Robert, I'll tell you this. So, we knew that Holman was going to pitch for LSU. He entered the game with a 0.78 ERA, 5-1 record, only eight strikes on the year. Just, he had been dominant. He threw 104 pitches last week against Florida. And Jay Johnson, after the Thursday night game, was asked, like, why did you not pitch Holman tonight? And he said, because he threw 106 pitches last week. That's the only reason why, because he threw 106 pitches last week. And it was like that tone. He was not like he was having an attitude with it. And I asked Dave, you know, why do you think they didn't throw Holman tonight? And he was like, we kind of had a feeling that they might do that. We didn't find out who they were going to throw until today. He said that on Thursday. So I felt like Dave was a little frustrated with it too. Anyways, LSU decides to throw Holman on Friday. And before we get to it, I want to say that they posted Dave's postgame speech to the team after Thursday night's win, and he had the line, they're throwing their guy tomorrow. You know what to do. And so I heard that, and then I asked him, and he seemed frustrated with the way that things played out. And so I was like, okay, I feel like they're really going to get after him tomorrow. And Arkansas was, you know, an underdog, a betting underdog entering this game. I don't know why. I mean, like, I know why, because Holman was throwing, but man, they got to him. He walked five, gave up three earned runs, gave up five hits. Man, this was just an example of Arkansas being the best team in the country. Just that, just plain and simple.
Without a doubt, right? And you mentioned the biggest thing was that they walked five guys, or Holman walked five guys. You know, you can look at the batting statistics for Arkansas as a team relative to the rest of the conference, and they're not that great, right? But one thing they're doing extremely well, and I don't even think this is going to be reflected, but they're drawing so many walks to the number of strikeouts, right? That ratio, it's not quite even. You know, you can't expect that to be even for a whole team, but it's way closer to even than most other teams in the SEC and probably most other teams in the country. 5-5 against Luke Holman, that'll play, especially if you chase him before the end of the fifth inning, right? You mentioned Molina gave up a couple of runs in the third inning. Hogs go down 2-0. And what did I talk about against Auburn last weekend? The Hogs have done a really, really good job of responding. It wasn't right away in Friday's game, but you know, after that third inning, the next team to score was Arkansas, and they took the lead against Holman, right? It was the situation. Let's see, Ty Wilmsmeyer, man, he had a great weekend as well. Drove in five, just like Stovall, getting the party started with an RBI double, with one out in the fourth. Peyton Stovall does a job, drives in another run with a ground out, and then Ben McLaughlin comes through with another RBI double, and the Hogs are on top just like that in the span of three batters, right? Molina, you know, not his best stuff, walked three guys, gave up seven hits in five innings, but the bottom line is he pitched well enough to keep Arkansas in the game, and that's all the Razorback hitters need, right? They have the propensity to deliver one big inning, and sometimes that's all you need to win a game, right? It wasn't on Friday. They had to walk off, but the bottom line is they weren't out of it. They were in it despite I don't know if you can call it subpar, but let's go with that for lack of a better word. Start for Molina, and they chased Holman before the end of the fifth, right? That's the crazy thing is that Molina lasted longer than Holman did. So you gotta take that as a victory for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Holman was not what I was expecting, to be quite honest with you. And mm-hmm. I'm gonna be, you know, hand up, haven't watched a ton of LSU baseball this year, haven't watched a ton of Luke Holman this year. But you know, we entered this game thinking, you know, he's gonna go toe to toe with Hagen. And obviously they didn't match up, but you know, Arkansas made him look mortal for sure. Like, I didn't think he was anything special. Obviously he is, but he wasn't on this night. And that's a testament to Arkansas. It's a testament to their scouting. It's a testament to just the way that, you know, these guys are putting together at bats. Like you said, they're drawing walks. They're getting pitch count up. That's the biggest thing. I mean, Holman went 4 1/3 and he threw 98 pitches. So
that's so many pitches to only record 13 outs.
Yeah. So like they're working counts for sure. And I think, you know, that might be one of the biggest differences between this year's team and some of the teams in, like, you know, just recent history, past 2 or 3 years. You know, I felt like those teams, you had at least 2 or 3 guys in the lineup that just did not work counts. And I feel like this year's lineup, you look up and down and you've got, you know, a few starters who have more walks than strikeouts. I mean, Jared Spraglott, 15 strikeouts, 12 walks. Ben McLaughlin, 15 walks, 12 strikeouts for JSL. McLaughlin, 23 walks, 13 strikeouts.
That is a ridiculous ratio, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, Diggs has 20 walks and 21 strikeouts. You know, like, these dudes are drawing walks. They're taking their pitches. They're being very selective, and it's resulting in them getting a lot of good hits too. Anyways, I'm getting off track. I just, you know, wanted to talk about that with Holman, all that good stuff. But then LSU turned to Griffin Herring, and he was pretty freaking good.
He was, without a doubt. One final note on Luke Holman, since I've got it in the same book. He threw 5 1/3 as a member of the Crimson Tide last year when Alabama visited Arkansas. Gave up 4 runs in that one. 3 run shot from Kendall Diggs, by the way. Who could have seen this coming? Walked 2, gave up 3 hits, and struck out 8 in that outing. But yeah, it was a big Kendall Diggs home run. And oddly enough, that was in response to a 3-run frame by Alabama. So
he had more than half of his
some symmetry there.
Walks in one game. He entered the game with 8 walks on the year, and he had 5 in this one. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, as you just mentioned, all those guys, and hell, throw Nolan Souza on that list too.
Hey, don't cuss on this podcast, please.
So sorry.
Please do not cuss on this podcast.
Throw Nolan Souza in there too, right? 10 to 13, 10 walks to the 13 strikeouts. That's pretty darn good for a freshman, right?
Yeah.
Especially for, you know, a guy who should be in the lineup sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not get into that one.
You know, not my place to decide, but anyway. Yeah, and then Griffin Herring, as you mentioned, 4 2/3. He goes actually longer than Luke Holman because Holman went 4 1/3. No walks, 8 strikeouts. The Hogs were guessing against him. It looked like only gave up 3 hits. Let's see if I can identify him real quick. I got 2 in the 7th with 1 out. Oh yeah, that was in a case of excellent defense by LSU, by the way.
Yeah, they had that play at home.
Yeah, you got corners with 1 out after a Kendall Diggs single. Sprague tries to lay down a bunt. First baseman Jared Jones fields it and gets Aloy at the plate to keep it tied at that point. Yeah, it's 3-3 there. And LSU gets out of the inning. LSU gives up a leadoff double, or excuse me, Herring gives up a leadoff double to Stovall in the 9th. He doesn't make it past second base. So the few hits he did give up, right, didn't cost them. Obviously, great defense in the 7th to keep it tied, but really good, really, really good job by him to, you know, work himself out of a leadoff double jam in the 9th for sure. High stress situation.
Yeah. So let's travel back in time here in this game though, and go back to, let's see, what is this? The top of the 6th inning. So Molina comes back out. He lets the first 3 LSU batters reach base. So bases loaded, no outs, and Dave Van Horn goes to Christian Fauch.
Yeah.
And that was look, no offense to Christian Fauch, but Tuesday was the first time he had thrown in weeks. And so it was a little interesting, but Dave spoke very highly of him, you know, after Tuesday's game. And he said after this one that, you know, Fauch could throw 100 if he wanted to. We know that the sinker's there. We know about the splitter. And so Fauch comes in, gives up an RBI sac fly. So LSU ties it up 3-3 on that. But then he gets an inning-ending double play. And just like that, you know, you're out of it and it's a tie game and you're just fine.
Right. Like I highlighted earlier, like I just talked about LSU's defense, Arkansas's was equally as good, really. Right. That double play was huge. Goes 4-3. Stovall, I can't remember if he tagged the guy out or if he stepped on the base, but bottom line is he got 2. I mean, that was a huge moment for Christian Fauch without a doubt. And then he goes 1-2-3 in the 7th, right? He gets 6 outs against 5 batters. Inherits the bases loaded. That was a really, really strong showing from Christian Fauch without a doubt. We'll get into it later when we talk weekend MVPs, but definitely worthy of consideration right there.
Notable quote from Dave Van Horn on Christian Fauch after the game. He's a tough kid. He's going to throw 101 one day, might be next week. So that's where we're at with Christian Fauch. I mean, like, dude, this pitching staff, we haven't even gotten to the fact that they got Hunter Dietz back now. So we're going to get into that, but let's finish this game. So Arkansas then goes to Gabe Gackel in the top of the 8th.
And the excellent pitching continues.
Yeah. 1-2-3 frame for Gackel. Herring again, perfect in the bottom of the 8th. You talked about the 9th, what happened. So then we get extra innings at Baum Walker Stadium. And, you know, shout out, we got to shout out our guy, Andrew Hutchinson. He had to leave this game early because his daughter was sick. Oh, man. Oh,
brutal.
Hutch. Oh,
brutal.
You poor soul. Anyways, apparently he had to listen to innings like 4 through 7 on the radio. And then he watched the rest of it on TV at home. So let's all pour one out for Hutch right now and just say a quick prayer for him. But, anyways, I had to mention that because that was on my mind here in the 10th inning. I was like, oh, poor Hutch.
That sounds like the Stillwater Regional from 22, right? Didn't he have to go home for the last game?
I did too. Yeah, I had to drive him home. So, yeah, that was tough. Anyways, so the 10th, Gackel comes out, picks up 2 outs, and then Arkansas brings in Stone Hewlett again. and he gets a strikeout to send it to the bottom of the 10th. And then
leaves the go-ahead run on base, by the way.
Yeah. Leaves the go-ahead run on base. And then LSU turns to Thatcher Turd. Who could have guessed? Who could have called it, man?
Yeah, I mean, we heard that, you know, as after we recorded, as you mentioned, right? We knew that he was not going to be a starting pitcher in this series. I talked about his 7-point ERA. So give him a new role. Try him out of the bullpen. And frankly, he should have had bases empty, two outs, if not for a fielding error on shortstop Michael Braswell III. That was particularly tough. It was the only error of the series, as I mentioned earlier. And it ended up costing them because Hudson White comes through with the RBI double to walk them off, clinch the series, and give the Hogs a chance to sweep and move to 8-1 on Saturday. That was a big moment. What was that like at the park?
Man, it was crazy. So the error by the shortstop, what's his name again? Braswell?
Yeah.
Michael Braswell. So he has the error in, I mean, you're in that moment. Like when a play like that happens, you know Arkansas is about to walk it off. So you're prepping, you know, final score tweets and everything. And actually, Jackson Fuller, who's a fellow media member, writes for the Southwest Times Record, really good guy. He was like, yeah, I was actually watching Braswell in infield in and out earlier, and he missed like four or five balls. And so sure enough, that happens. And so, you know, then you're on the edge of your seat. And I will say, Edmondson, I feel like he pieced that one up. I don't remember what the exit velo was on that, but I want to say it was at least 90-something.
I think he hit it pretty hard. And also consider that, you know, I can't remember the error as it happened. I don't know if he should have fielded it or he bobbled it once he picked it up or whatever. But consider that Edmondson's fast, right? Anytime he puts the ball in play, it's going to put a lot of pressure on an infielder, whoever fields a ball, to make a play.
Well, I think on this play, actually, I get what you're saying 100%, but I think on this one, it actually just went like under his glove and into the outfield. I think that's what happened on this one.
I think you're right.
But yes, normally you're right on that. Anyways, so then I guess was Hudson White? Yeah. Lovich, what happened with Lovich? Did Lovich get out in between that?
No, Lovich. Edmondson had pinch hit for Lovich in the fifth inning.
Oh, right. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get the, I don't want to like miss something. Okay, so it was Edmondson and then White right away.
Yeah, it was the very next hitter. It was over just like that.
Yeah. So when White hits it and it goes to the outfield, you know, we didn't know if Edmondson was going to score, and then the left fielder had some trouble picking up the ball, and then it was like, okay, yeah, this is going to happen. Huddy White, you know, rips the jersey off. The crowd, I mean, you just can't really put it into words, those moments. Those are just like, oh, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was such a good baseball game. Like we talked about, the double play to get out of the jam in the seventh, LSU replicating it with the play at the plate in the bottom of the seventh, and then the walk-off and the clutch pitching in the ninth inning on both sides, right? Both sides strand a runner. I mean, this is the kind of game that you like. When you're bored and you don't want to watch a show or a movie or something, this is the kind of game that you put on, like start to finish, not just highlights, right? This is such a good product. This is college baseball at its finest. That's what I kept telling myself when I was watching that game anyway. I mean, it was just awesome. And as I mentioned earlier, certainly helps that it went Arkansas's way.
Dude, oh my gosh, Robert. You know what I just thought about?
What's that?
So I was thinking about this Hudson White hit, and it reminded me of a Casey Opitz hit during a series a few years ago against Tennessee. I was at the game, sitting in the hog pen.
2019?
I think this was 2019. It was on April 28th, 2019. I found the exact game. And you will not believe this, dude. You will not believe this. So April 28th, 2019, okay, never mind, hold on. We're not doing the date. Sorry. Anyways, that game, Arkansas walked Tennessee off in the 10th inning, and they won it 4-3 on a Casey Opitz RBI double down the left field line.
The left field, yeah. I remember that knock. So,
and it was like a very similar like hit, launch angle, everything like that, both by the catcher, both in the 10th, both 4-3 games. That's pretty cool.
Lots of symmetry on this episode. I like
it. Yeah. And I didn't, you know, that was just right off the top of my head. That's awesome. Who pit? Connor Nolan started that game. 10 strikeouts, 1 walk. Wow. Matt Cronin threw in that game. Any Tennessee names? No. Evan Russell, maybe.
Evan okay. Russell, yeah. Everybody remembers that name from 2021, I think.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, we got off track, but yeah, just an incredible walk-off win. You win the series, you secure the series, and then you give yourself an opportunity to sweep on Saturday. And the Hogs did just that with another win over the Tigers. Another one where, you know, just responding to adversity. Brady Tiger, not his best outing. You know, the lineup just continues to, you know, they're not, maybe they're not, you know, capitalizing on with runners on base as much as you want them to. Maybe not every player is performing the way that you want them to. Maybe you want someone else to play, but you cannot say that these guys are not getting timely hits and they're not getting like responsive hits to what the opponent just did. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that just doesn't happen unless you're a baseball team that is built to win a lot of baseball games.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it drives me kind of crazy that like people can sit here and pick apart what this team didn't do perfectly, right? What team in college baseball is perfect? Other than maybe LSU last year. But they had their slump, right?
Lost to Arkansas twice.
That's true. That is true. But the thing is, like, as you mentioned, they're finding ways to win. And it, like, it's just so much fun to take in these games. Like, I would so much rather think about how much fun I'm having watching really good baseball. Maybe it's not perfect, but it's really good. It's better than most teams can do, right? If not all of them, right? They're ranked number one for a reason. So, yeah, I mean, you can, you'll drive yourself crazy if you're trying to be too critical of what they're not doing at every situation. They go down 3 in this game, but, you know, they find a way to get those 3 right back in the fourth, courtesy of 4 singles in a row with 2 outs, right?
Yeah, Dave said after the game, he was like, you know, it's really rare to get, like, you know, just 2 or 3 hits in a row, and they got 4 in a row. So that
all
was
with 2
cool.
Outs, yeah, after a walk, right? It's a continuing theme of make them pay for the free passes, and finally the bats like come alive consecutively with 2 outs. It was huge, right? And that was all to counteract the, and you had the dueling home runs in the first between Tommy White and Vahiba Aloy. And then Ashton Larson comes through with a 2-run shot. He had pinch hit, I think, in the first 2 games. That was his first start. He gets a 2-run shot to go up to Mac Bingham with his first of 2. And by the way, he played in the Fayetteville Regional last year with Arizona, right, Mac Bingham?
Oh, did he?
That's what I was hearing on the broadcast.
Okay. Yeah, man, he's a slugger, dude. He hit a couple of nukes. Like, those two swings on Saturday, they were no doubters.
Yeah, and the first one was huge, right? Because they go up 3, and then, as we just talked about, the Hogs just erase it in a flash with 2 outs against Gage Jump and chase him from the game. And all of a sudden, you gotta go to a bullpen that's, you know, been really taxed at this point, right? You only get 2 1/3 from the starter on Thursday, 4 1/3 from your ace on Friday. And so the fact that Jump can't get out of the fourth inning, it really just puts a lot of pressure on LSU and sets the Hogs up for more success, I think.
Yeah. LSU, I don't know if LSU managed their pitching staff very well this weekend. I mean, throwing 7 guys on Thursday, I just don't think that helped them. And yeah, I mean, you look at all of them threw at least 15 pitches. I'm just going to go down the line from the guys who threw on Thursday, pitch count 43, 38, 32, 35, 18, 15, 8. It's a lot of pitches.
Right. And I get, you know, Dave Van Horn's talked about this kind of strategy before, right? You do what it takes to win game one. You take it one game at a time. Super cliche, Crash Davis, whatever. And I'm sure if you're Jay Johnson and the LSU coaching staff, you're expecting Luke Holman to give you at least 6 on Friday. And so when you set yourself up like that and then that doesn't happen, you get swept. This is what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you're probably expecting more than 4 4 1/3 out of Holman too. So
yeah,
Good point there. Where are we at here? So they pull. So we're tied 4-4. You mentioned the bottom of the fourth for Arkansas. So we're tied 4-4. Tiger comes back out for the top of the fifth, gives up a leadoff single, and Dave goes to the bullpen and brings in Cody Frank, the 6th-year senior. He's got the mustache. He's got the kid. He's married. And he's throwing really well this year.
And he gets Tommy White to ground into a double play in a tie game in the fifth inning.
That was big.
Like, yes, they've already won the series at this point, but think about the implications. Like, every win in a 30-game slate matters so much, right? This is huge. I don't care if it's the fifth inning. You know, at this point, it feels much later in the game. To get those two outs and erase a leadoff single, you know, Tiger should buy him a drink or something. Like,
well, he got three outs on four pitches because he started with a three-pitch strikeout, and then he had the inning double play to Tommy White. So that was like – that's as perfect as it gets right there.
Yes, it is.
And aside from an immaculate inning. Sorry, go ahead.
Right, without a doubt. Considering the circumstances, fantastic. And a note on Tommy White real quick. That was his second double play, second ground ball double play of the game, second of three. He would hit into one later. And it was his third ground ball double play of the weekend at that point, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So we'll get into more Tommy White stuff later. But I do want to talk about him. Yeah. Anyway, as you mentioned, really good stuff from Cody Frank. Sets the Hogs up again in the sixth, goes 1-2-3. And then they blow it open. Peyton Stovall delivering against his home state team. Not hometown team, but home state team. As you mentioned, didn't offer him out of high school, and boy, what a swing that was to drive in three in the sixth, take a 3-run lead, and you know, be 9 outs from a sweep.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. You know, I hate to do this to you because you did it to me a couple times early in the episode. So you said that Stovall drove in three on that swing.
I only drove in two.
Yeah, they scored.
I got a little excited.
RBI fielder's choice by Wilmsmeyer. So, look, you're making me feel a lot better because I was pretty embarrassed early on in the episode when I messed up a couple things. But now you've messed up a couple things. We're even. We can kind of move on from it now.
Yeah, and I don't mean to slight Ty Wilmsmeyer at all. I would like to give him props later in the episode for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I hit on it earlier, but I want to spend some more time on it later.
Okay. Here's the thing. So Stovall's home run, 379 feet to right field, 2-run homer, gives Arkansas a 7-4 lead there in the bottom of the sixth. After the game, Dave says he's hitting like 360 and he's doing it against the league. And he says he didn't get any of them cookie games when the wind's blowing out 30 miles per hour and the wind's out of the north and we're playing somebody that's run out of pitching and we're scoring 10, 12, 15 runs. He's pretty much doing it against the SEC. And that's true.
To clarify there, he's hitting 364 cumulative on the season, right?
Yeah.
382 against SEC opponents.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he's swinging a very
1,100 OPS against SEC opponents through 3 weeks.
You know, ow, ow, ow. You know what that
is?
He's
on fire, dude.
You know what that is? I just touched the stove. The stove is really hot, Robert.
It's on fire.
Yeah. So, yeah, Stovall, I mean, just a big swing, gives Arkansas a 3-run lead. And then Cody Frank tagged for another homer, Bingham. Just, I mean, I think the second one went probably like 40 feet further than the first one, and it was just another bomb.
It was a colossus shot for sure. And yet, that was the only run Frank gave up in three innings of work. So, you know, hat tip to him for coming through in a big way after Tiger only gets through 12 outs.
Yeah. So, after Frank, a really surprising move. Dave Van Horn goes to Hunter Dietz.
That was very surprising.
Hunter Dietz, and he's like, hey, buddy, Hunter, you know, like, super excited for you, man. This is going to be awesome. You know, you're going to get to go pitch against LSU, 11,000 fans. You know, Tommy White's up to bat, so, like, good luck, bud. the heck?
You know, I don't want to say welcome to the show because it's not the show, but pretty much, right? Like, I don't know if he can be put on a bigger stage.
You can't. He's the best right-handed hitter in college baseball, as Dave Van Horn said. And Hunter Dietz, let's see, what did White do, though?
He walked.
He walked White. Okay. So Dietz gets two outs. And look, it
To be fair, Ethan Frye pinch hit after and got a single. So you're talking about two on, nobody out. He does a really good job to get these two outs, by the way, right? Strike out Jared Jones. That was his third of the game. Jared Jones, who I talked about, I think has 10 home runs on the year. And then gets Hayden Travinsky, who's swinging it super, super well, to ground out. And then he plunks Pearson to load the bases. And that's when you go to the big man, Will McIntyre.
Yeah.
But you know, it, tough start for Dietz. He recovered really well. And you know, the hit by pitch with two outs is unfortunate for sure. But honestly, that's a pretty satisfactory outing, I would say, for your first showing as a Hog.
I was very okay with Dietz's outing. And you know, Dave said that he thought that Dietz threw the ball pretty good, and basically they had to throw him Saturday, or they throw him Tuesday and he wouldn't be available next weekend against Ole Miss. So they had to throw him Saturday. It made sense. You know, he gets it. It was a good, it was trial by fire. And I think that he succeeded for what they wanted out of him, basically. Just put it that way. And I think he's going to be good. He was 92, 93. He's got more in the tank than that. His stuff is nasty. His stuff's really nasty, dude. Just another left-handed pitcher that this team's going to need. And it's like, it's literally like just add it. They're adding him mid-season. So, you know, freshman pitchers hit a wall. That's just how it happens. Almost all of them do. You think about a guy like Gabe Gackle, he's probably going to hit a wall. You know, maybe he won't. Maybe he's just really good. But even Hagen Smith hit a wall as a freshman. Brady Tigert hit a wall as a freshman. And so, like, getting
you're
Dietz
better
back,
off having the expectation that a freshman's going to hit the wall. And so the fact that he's debuting now is
it's
huge.
It's great.
Right?
Yeah, it's great. So yeah, anyways, then they go to McIntyre and, you know, just Big Mac gets a strikeout. And
lots of emotion coming off the mound on that one.
Yeah. And then so Arkansas goes scoreless.
And rightfully so. It's Mac Bingham. It's not just a strikeout. It's the guy who's taken two different pitchers way deep to left field.
Yeah.
I think Brett Dolan kept saying he's hit 851 feet worth of home runs in two swings.
Yeah, so big strikeout from Big Mac. And then Arkansas goes scoreless in the bottom of the eighth. And Iron Man comes back out for the top of the ninth. There was some drama there.
Ooh, man. You know, putting two men on base, including the tying run, with one out at the bottom of the order to flip it to Tommy White. Boy, was that stressful. And then Tommy White hits one way, way, way deep, barely foul. Would have been a go-ahead home run in the ninth. And then the fourth double play of the weekend for Tommy White. It's a liner, a screamer to third base. What a play by Spraglott to obviously haul it in and then get it over to second for the out and the game and the sweep. And, man, what a weekend. That was some really fun baseball.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, man, the foul ball, it was definitely foul. And, you know, Dave said it best. They reviewed it because, you know, they reviewed it because you got to review that play, but you can't overturn it. And Dave said, like, if they called it a home run and Dave asked for a review, they weren't going to overturn it and call it foul. So it's just unfortunate for LSU, but it was a foul ball. That just is what it is. Tommy White then says, F you. To what's the umpire's name? Something January, Javero January, was that third
yeah,
base?
Yeah, January was the crew chief. He was working third base on that game.
Yeah. So, Tommy White, he's a punk sometimes. Really good baseball player though.
Yeah, let's talk about this. I want to talk about how good Tommy White is. He's such a professional hitter, man. Like I'm glad Dave Van Horn mentioned that he's the best right-handed hitter in the game because I believe that as well. At least from what I've seen over the course of 2 years now, right? Here's a fascinating difference. I was also looking through last year's LSU series in Baton Rouge. He hit two home runs in that three-game set. He drove in seven runs with those two swings. He drove in two runs with his two home runs this year. It was a noticeable difference, him hitting with the bases empty versus him hitting with runners on, right? I got 3 for 8, two home runs, a walk, and a strikeout with the bases empty. Obviously, they moved him to the leadoff spot on Saturday, game three, which ended up being fascinating, right? Because he had that huge RBI chance at the end of the game. And that brings me to the point that he was 1 for 5 with runners on and hit into four double plays. Like, that was, you can't sleep on that. It, you have to minimize damage, right, from a guy who's consistently ranked in the top 10 MLB draft prospects this year, and you silence him effectively, right? LSU had a lot of solo home runs this weekend. Tommy White had two of them. Tommy White didn't do anything when it really mattered most, right? He had one single, and he ended up scoring on it in the third inning of Friday's game. But if that's the worst of it with runners on base, I don't know how you complain about that. I mean, that was a really stellar job by Arkansas pitchers to limit him when he posed the biggest threats.
Yeah. Great weekend for the Arkansas pitching staff, for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And we're going to continue to talk about that after I tell you a little bit about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. Check it out, please. That is the website that I own. I'm the owner of that. It's mine. And we do a lot of great work. Myself, Riley McFerrin, Daniel Fair, Jackson Collier, Michael Main occasionally. You know the crew. We do a great job. Look, we put a lot of effort into this. We put a lot of effort into the podcast, but, you know, this is my day job, hogbeat.com. So check that one out, please. Just a lot of great work. A lot of cool stuff, too. You know, I'm a big Razorback fan, always have been. You know, I can't – not really supposed to say that, but look, I graduated from the university. I did my time. But anyways, when I was growing up, I was checking out this kind of content. And so I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, you would enjoy what we have on hogbeat.com. So please just check it out. Ton of free stuff. You don't have to subscribe, but I highly encourage it. And I also highly encourage you to check out the Bet Saracen mobile app. That is the sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. I'm literally looking at it right now as we speak. They've got options for Arkansas softball. You can bet on that. They've got the specials tab, which is my favorite place to go because that's where you're going to find the double R props for Arkansas baseball games. I wouldn't bet on them, but you can. And you can also bet on the Arkansas Razorbacks, anything else you want on Bet Saracen. So download it. You can only get the double R props for Arkansas baseball if you're in the state. And you can also only bet on Bet Saracen if you're in the state of Arkansas. So please check it out and please gamble responsibly. All right, Robert, we have a lot of storylines, just like random things to mention. It was a busy weekend of just like stupid stuff happening. So are we ready? Do you have anything that like you want to lead off with, or do you want me to start?
I just, go ahead. Go ahead. Let's jump right into it.
Okay. So after the walk-off win on Friday, the NCAA baseball official Twitter account tweets this out. I got to find it. Nothing but the Tide. Number one at Alabama baseball walks it off to secure game two of the series against number eight LSU, 4-3. And literally at the bottom, it says the video is from Arkansas baseball. And I mean, like, obviously it was Arkansas, but like even the video, like you had to get the video and post the video from Arkansas baseball. How do you mess that up?
Well, maybe it's one thing if they tag the wrong A school, right? Alabama, Arkansas. You know, I'm not justifying this. I don't think you should mess that up. But the fact that they threw out the nothing but the Tide or whatever, like, come on.
No, it's really, really bad. Really, really embarrassing.
That tells me it wasn't just an accident. No, it was more than just a minor accident. Let's say it that.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing for the NCAA, but whatever. Then I wake up the next morning, check out the SEC baseball standings, and they have Arkansas as 6-1-1 in conference play, and LSU is 2-5-1. So apparently the Razorbacks and Tigers tied on Friday night. I assume that it's just like some, thing in their system where like if the game goes into extras, it goes in as a tie.
Manually corrected or something.
Yeah, but still, like, what are we doing here? You're the SEC. You're the official website of the conference that these teams play in, and you have the records wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to our discussion last week about the whole umpire situation, right? Why didn't they have that protocol more ironed out than they did? Why don't they have the glitch fixed or whatever it is this week? I don't know.
Look, I run a very small business, like a small website. And if one of my people tweeted something out as wrong and incorrect as what the NCAA official baseball account tweeted out, I would fire that person. I probably wouldn't fire them, but I'd be really freaking angry. And that's on the level that I am. And that's the official account for NCAA baseball for the number one team in the country. The number one team in the country against
And
the
like,
reigning national champions. Like, it's not like, freaking Arkansas State was playing Southeast Missouri State. This was the number one team playing the number eight team in the country, Arkansas, LSU, two of the premier powerhouse baseball programs in the country.
right. And yeah, like you said, it's Arkansas, right? Like, use your head a little bit right there. No disrespect to Alabama baseball. They're having a great season. I'm looking forward to that series without a doubt. It'll be a great road test for the Hogs. But bottom line is, they have not been the tide has not been at the caliber of Arkansas in baseball as long as I can remember.
Okay,
If ever.
let's get into our Monday reading. So I feel like most Arkansas baseball fans who are on Twitter probably saw this over the weekend, but look, I gotta talk about this because it's freaking hilarious. Robert, I don't know if you remember. Oh, I sent this in our group chat. You saw it. You saw it. I sent this stuff in the group chat. Look, I have this guy. I've had this guy muted for a long time after he like tried to come at me for, he was like trying to compare podcast guests or something, and I was like, dude, I don't care. And anyways, his name is Jim Cross. That's what I know. And this is a tweet from him. So Monday reading, everybody strap in. And there's some grammatical errors from this guy. So if it doesn't make sense, I don't know what to tell you. It's what he wrote. Look, y'all don't shoot the messenger. I've been to Alex Box a 100 once, and I have never seen a group of like 10, 12-year-olds walking down the street yelling LSU sucks at the LSU fans, like blatantly loud. I'm just saying, and the fact they're allowing the kids to do it. What if my son was with me? He would say he didn't understand why. And rightfully so. Y'all been big mad at me all night, but both nights this place wasn't hospitable and I've been everywhere.
I don't know, man. Like, don't LSU fans love to yell "Tiger bait" at people? Like, I've walked around a football tailgate in Baton Rouge, and everybody's like, "Tiger bait, Tiger bait." I wasn't even wearing Arkansas clothing.
Dude, I just cannot believe that a grown man tweeted this. I cannot believe that. Look, if you can't, I don't care who you are. If you can't laugh at this, then I don't know what to tell you, man. This is freaking hilarious.
I just don't understand getting mad online, man. That's crazy.
Anyways, he got completely like roasted, ended up deleting the tweet. Screenshots last forever. And another thing that he deleted was a Facebook post after the weekend. So apparently his wife had like a health issue thing this weekend. So like, hope that his wife is okay. Hope and pray. Who knows? This guy could be making it up. But if it's true, I hope that like things are actually okay. Anyways, he says this is a Facebook post, I guess on Sunday. I just saw the screenshot posted on Twitter. Cause I went to go check his Facebook account and it wasn't there anymore. Anyways. So now that everyone knows the wife is all right and Jax has completed fundraiser goals, I'm gonna step away from Facebook. I'm assuming Jax is his son or something. Let's see. His page will still run, and I deleted Twitter altogether. But after what Arkansas fans have put me through, I need time away because I'm fixing to hang up the mic altogether, which a lot of athletes, our nine sponsors, and Danielle Ball would not like. Shout out to everyone who prayed for Sarah and helped Jackson. This is truly Satan at work because there are amazing God things happening in Fayetteville. But unfortunately, this is one of those where the bad outweighs the good by a large amount.
It just, I don't know. I mean, again, this is now, I am now an outsider. This is my perspective, but Arkansas fans never really struck me that way.
Nope.
I think we're probably describing an exchange or two with a very small group of people, and is getting a little bit blown out of proportion.
Yeah. Look, man, it's just like at some point, just like log off. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just log off. And
Yes.
But shout out to the Arkansas fans. You know, great job, guys. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. I just wanted to read those because I thought they were hilarious. We'll call it at that. We'll call it good. Let's get to our weekend MVPs. Robert.
Back to baseball. Hooray.
Yeah.
I get to start, huh? Okay, let's go with I'm gonna take the unconventional choice. I said I wanted to give props to Ty Wilmsmeyer. I'm gonna do that now. He was 4-for-11 out of the ninth spot this week. Very impressive with 5 RBIs, as you pointed out, correcting me on one of those, Peyton Stovall, that I attributed to Peyton Stovall, right? Drew a huge walk with the bases loaded in the seventh to extend the lead to 2 runs. That was important on Thursday. Comes up with an RBI double with 1 out on Friday to get the Hogs on the board. That was an important inning. They ended up taking the lead. And then he drives in a couple as part of those 4 consecutive singles we talked about in Saturday's game. 2 outs in the fourth inning. He gets the third of them, drives in 2, and then drives in another on a fielder's choice later in that game. So big, big weekend out of the 9 hole for Ty Wilmsmeyer. He's going to be my weekend MVP, teeing up Mason for the easy choice of
Peyton Stovall, the Louisiana native, 7-for-13 at the plate, drove in 5 runs, had the home run on Saturday, like we talked about, a couple doubles, scored a run, walked twice, and he also, you know, just an incredible glove at second base in the field. I mean, going from Robert Moore to Peyton Stovall, is second base the new center field for Arkansas?
It might be. And, you know, we talked about all those Tommy White double plays. He was on the receiving end of one of those outs every time.
Yeah.
He turned the 3 ground ball double plays and he secured the put out on the last out of the series. So, yeah, like you said, really good defense from Peyton Stovall as well.
Yep. All right. Since I took Stovall, then you can have your pick of the litter for MVPs on the mound.
Oh man, this is going to be one of two for me. I think it's going to be from Friday's game, and I'm going to go with Christian Fauch. I'm going to go with Christian Fauch.
Ooh,
this was a huge outing for him, as we talked about. The bases loaded, inheriting the bases loaded in a 1-run game, nobody out in the 6th inning. Sac fly is all the damage that's done against him. Huge double play to get out of that. 1-2-3, set the Hogs up or set the table for Gabe Gackle to get the next 8 outs. Christian Fauch, that's maybe an unconventional answer, but I'm standing by it.
Okay, well then I'm going to take Will McIntyre.
You know, and then I'm going to, before you do that, honorable mention to Gabe Gackle because he got those next 8 outs.
Okay. Will McIntyre, he throws 4 innings. How many? What, 2 appearances? 3, 2.
He had 2.
2, okay. 5
2
hits.
And 2/3, 2 2/3 in Friday's game, or sorry, Thursday's game, 1 1/3 in Saturday's.
Yeah, Thursday's game, he struck out 8. We talked about Saturday's game, had the big strikeout against, who was it, Bingham, right? And, I think the biggest thing is Saturday's game, he wasn't supposed to be on the board to pitch. And he went in that morning, and every other name was written in red, and then there was just McIntyre written in black. And so apparently Will put his name on the board, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to pitch today. And Dave was asked about it, and he was like, you know, I wouldn't really get mad at anybody for doing that, even if they weren't on the 27-man roster. Just because, you know, it's great. You want to play. But Dave was like, you know, I make the decisions. And he made the decision to go to McIntyre, and it paid off. And, you know, I asked him, what does that say about a guy like McIntyre that he wants to do that and he wants to pitch? And, you know, he just, like, wants to go so far as to do something like that after he's already had a great outing on the weekend. And, you know, basically he talked about how, you know, he's a guy that is going to – this team is only going to go as far as a guy like McIntyre can take them. And the more I think about it, the more, like, the daydream in the head of, you know, like, game 2 or 3 in the College World Series, it's Will McIntyre throwing the final pitches in my head.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody's earned it over what he's done during the course of his Arkansas career, it'd be Will McIntyre, right? Interesting you bring this up. I was looking at the conference stats earlier before we started recording. SEC games only through nine games for all 14 teams, right? Hagan Smith has a 1 point ERA even, sitting at fourth behind Griffin Herring, who we talked about how awesome he was, right? Evan Astrombeck, reliever for A&M. Grayson Carter for Vanderbilt. Number five on that list, Will McIntyre. Arkansas's got two pitchers with sub 1.6 ERAs in the top five against league opponents through 3 weeks.
Yeah, man. Look, we've been calling for the Will McIntyre Golden Spikes, and you know, maybe it's not this year. He's still got another year of eligibility. So I'm gonna go ahead and call it Will McIntyre 2025 Golden Spikes Award winner.
he's making a decent case for SEC Pitcher of the Year, honestly. I'm looking at more stats. I didn't pick this up earlier, but he's got the lowest opposing batting average at 132.
Wait, over Hagen? You think he could win? No, I'm not saying that stat. Oh. I'm saying like, oh, he could win the award over Hagen, you think?
Probably not, but
exactly.
You know.
Maybe they can do a co-pitcher of the year, and it could be,
and they're both from Arkansas.
McIntyre, and that would actually be crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. This is a great episode. Anything else? Do you got anything else to add? I feel like you had something.
I don't know. I talked about Tommy Wyatt. That's what I was, you know, most interested in, I think, aside from the actual game recap stuff. I don't know, man. These Arkansas pitchers, they're just they're getting it done. The defense is spectacular. The offense is there when it needs to be. It's just a lot of fun baseball, man. Appreciate this. Like, you know, we've talked so many times before about how every College World Series champion has to have a slump, right? Maybe it comes at some point. Probably better that it comes toward the end of the regular season. We saw how it worked out for Arkansas in 2022. Just, you know, couldn't get over the Dylan DeLucia hump in Omaha, but this really feels like the team that's built to go the distance. And, you know, don't like get your expectations up or anything, right? Because you don't want to see them win every series like they did in 2021 and sputter out, right? So just appreciate the fun baseball that we're getting treated to for however long it lasts. It's awesome. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah. Definitely feels like one of those years where you can definitely you can go ahead and get the non-refundable booking for Omaha. Like don't come at me if something happens and you can't get your money back. But it feels like it's almost a lock that this team's going to be playing in Omaha. I hope. I really hope, man. I want to make another trip back. That was one of the best weeks of my life. So,
without it.
Yeah, but like you're saying, anytime number 33 is on the mound, I kind of just like try to take time and just enjoy it and just watch it and not like be on my phone. Like I obviously have to look at my screen and work. I have to, but I try my best with this team and especially with Hagen to just appreciate it. You know, like same as it was with Copps in 2020.
I was about to say it's very similar to Kevin Copps in 2021.
Yeah. So this I'm excited, man. I mean, Ole Miss next weekend. That's gonna be a fun series. So the there's so much more fun baseball to be played and much more meaningful baseball to be played. And I'm very much looking forward to it. So well, let's see here. Looking at the week ahead, you got Arkansas State on Tuesday, 6 p.m. SEC Network Plus. Visit hogbeat.com for coverage of all of that. And then Ole Miss coming to town for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series again. The one of the games is going to be on national TV. There's going to be a couple giveaways, and it's going to be fun. So we'll have the preview up Thursday morning. You know, actually, for the diehard listeners, you probably know that I get the Spotify and Apple versions up like pretty early the day before, just because I'm trying to like work ahead. So that's a little inside scoop for all the Diamond Hogs podcast listeners. If you just check a day early, sometimes it's there. So anyways, thank you everybody for listening. We truly do appreciate you listening to this podcast. I don't know why you do it, but we really appreciate you doing it. And it really means a lot to us. I know that, you know, parents of players, you know, family members, friends, all that listen to the podcast. Look, nothing's personal. We're just having fun. We're just talking baseball, and we really appreciate everything you guys do, everything, you know, your relatives do. And so, look, sometimes you have to take a step back and just really appreciate everything from the listeners. I really don't know why people listen to you, Robert. You're terrible at analyzing baseball.
I mean, I'm not even like covering this team anymore. I'm just yapping about what I see on a screen 3 times a week. So yeah, like you said, appreciate it a lot. It's so much fun. I love doing this with you, man. Let's keep it rolling.
Yeah. And you thought that I was going to end this podcast without bringing up the fact that you got a really bad sunburn today. So, there it is.
Hey, you know what I did see today, by the way? I went to Baltimore. We're talking Sunday. I went to Baltimore to watch the Orioles and the Angels. I watched a James McCann hit today, former Hog. Ah,
McCannon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well,
unfortunately, no Heston Kjerstad, but maybe next time.
Yes, we need to see Kjerstad in the show. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to it. All right, Robert, appreciate your time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you on Thursday on the Diamond Hogs podcast.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter @ Choate Mason and @DRStew32.